relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
And I'm here to say thank you. Thank you, School Board and Superintendent Bridges, for not using your power to push back on the state of Illinois about the mask mandate. We get to wear masks all day, every day now. Isn't that great? Thank you for forcing me to wear a mask so I no longer have to brush my teeth or wash my face. Seriously, my life is so much easier. I don't wear glasses, but if I did, I would thank you for concealing my eyes with the fog from my breath, too. Thank you for teaching students that our own mental health is much less important than making triple vaccinated adults feel safe. Thank you for teaching me that even the most minute risk is not worth taking. Life is best when you take the path of least resistance, with no chance of failure and definitely no chance of catching a cold. Thank you for not reaching out to the students to ask how we feel about masks, because if you did, the majority of students would say that they hate masks, and then you might second guess your decision to make us wear them. Thank you for allowing me to experience the anxiety associated with never seeing facial expressions. Thank you for teaching us that we should never question authority or think critically, but instead we should follow whatever the people in charge tell us to do. Obedience is best.
Obedience is best. You will obey. That is a high school honors student. Eric, look her name up for me. Text it to me because I want to recognize her. That was just a few days ago in the Naperville School District. And she was standing up for her rights, using a little bit of sarcasm, but at least putting a face to her views. Something interesting is happening in America, and we are going to unpack it with a woman who is fighting every single day against socialism, from the Young Americans Against Socialism, Morgan Zegers. Welcome to America First.
Thanks for having me.
So you have a fascinating story you've told on our show previously. We can talk about it later, but let's kind of start backwards based upon that clip I just played you. I don't want to be over-optimistic if we don't have the requisite evidence. But when you see not parents, but students standing up in public, making speeches like that, is this a sign that finally Americans are coming to their senses and enough people are pushing back on socialism as you have taught them?
Well, that's the thing. This is an open-ended question at this point of what's going to happen to future generations of America based on what they experienced during COVID. Now, on one hand, you could say a lot of people are going to turn out like this really courageous student that we just saw, and I give her a lot of kudos. I give her a lot of credit. That was very, very courageous. I'm worried because it could turn out like that, but it also could be a situation where we're teaching children to obey. We're teaching them to not question authority, and we're teaching them that this is the government's role in our lives to tell us what we can and cannot do, that they give us our rights based on what the risks are to whatever crisis they declare. So I think right now it's important for people like us and the people listening to understand we need to connect the dots right now in this moment before the left takes over control of our generation's minds and really teaches them to embrace government's role in our lives in the way that we've seen over COVID.
So fabulous answer. That is why you do what you do and why you have managed to be so successful in such a short time. For those who aren't familiar with your incredible story, what motivated you to do what you're doing? Will you share with us what happened to you in college and why it motivated you to get involved in this fight?
Of course. Well, we are in our third year now as a nonprofit, Young Americans Against Socialism, and it all started back when I was in college. So this is around the time AOC's coming to power, the term democratic socialism was being normalized, and numbers were showing that more than half of people my age wanted socialism over capitalism. And I was pretty shocked.
Hang on. Let's just stop that. Okay, let's stop there and make sure everybody understands. These are not one woman's opinion. These are serious surveys from the Victims of Communism Memorial Foundation, from YouGov, a massive survey polling company, that state up to two-thirds of young Americans would prefer to live in a socialist or even communist America. That is the polling data we have. So I want to make sure people understand this isn't anecdotal. Please go ahead, Morgan.
Yes, thank you. So we see these numbers, right? And it's just hard to visualize that so many young people would do this. And you wonder, how could it be? And I thought that too, until I went to college and I had a firsthand experience. What happened to me is my roommate in college had a poster of Mao Zedong, Lenin, Stalin, Karl Marx, and Fidel Castro on her wall. And we had an engagement where I asked her why she would have a poster of these mass murderers and dictators that I knew were terrible people. And you would think that I would know what to say next. What would I say when I met a communist? But I really didn't, I'll be honest. She told me she was a communist and that her ideas would bring progress and justice and help the working class people of America, because right now they're really downtrodden. And I had no idea what to say, and I was very disappointed in myself. And considering the statistics that we were seeing, I realized that a lot of young people that maybe do believe in freedom or maybe find themselves in the middle of the road and are hearing these great promises from the left, they just don't know what to say to this very false and misleading narrative. So I founded the nonprofit. What we do is mostly interview survivors from socialist and communist countries, and we also make educational videos on history, economics, and basic policy. So we have a really great time, and if any parents out there or any students want to learn, you can go to fightsocialism.org.
All right, we're going to be talking about the organization. We're going to be spreading the URLs, telling people to listen to your podcast. So this is the poster that she's talking about. It says, "Welcome to the party." I'm just pulling it up on my phone here. It's got Lenin, Mao, who only killed 60 million Chinese. It's got Fidel Castro, Marx, and Stalin. So go, come back. Okay, so there's the poster. When we first had this conversation, I looked for this poster online, and I could find it for sale at Walmart. Good news is, I had a little campaign. I had a couple of people, followers, who wrote to Walmart, emailed Walmart. As of last week, it was no longer available at Walmart. I am looking at Amazon's page. It is still available at Amazon. You might want to tell Amazon what you think about selling a poster that celebrates mass murderers, the greatest mass murderers in history. So God bless you for having that moment where you realized you need to have the intellectual, the rhetorical ammunition. Will you share with us, because I've come to the conclusion this is perhaps the most effective tool we have, why you chose, how you came to the realization that it is the stories of those who have lived under socialism that are the key weapon we have to win this war?
Of course. Well, I think it's very well understood at this point. Conservatives and pro-freedom people, we really struggle with emotion, and the left is so good at it. I mean, they really only have that, while our side, the pro-freedom side, has statistics and data and history and everything for us to utilize. But unfortunately, young, impressionable minds that are well-intentioned and they're caring, they fall for the radical left. And so I encourage people to not baby my generation, instead empower them with information. Let them know you're being lied to and you deserve the truth. You deserve the information that will set you free from this slavery that we're seeing. And by that, I mean mental slavery. The other aspect of it, when you have the emotional stories, when you have the firsthand experiences, it brings an element of peer rationale, which was proven by a study at Michigan State University to be the most effective way to change a young person's mind with really hard to understand topics. It's peer-to-peer communication. It's deemed peer rationale. And I think that really is utilized in first-hand testimony, direct-to-camera stories.
She's using the fancy words. She's done her research. So what you're talking about is people from the same age cohort, the same demographic, being approached with narratives from people who've actually lived. What is it, the phrase the left uses? The lived experience, correct, Morgan?
Yes, I mean, they are all about the sob stories, but for them, their sob stories have to do with being misgendered on accident in public. And I I know you out there, you don't go out and try and ruin someone's day by calling them the wrong pronoun. And so if you think about how much they care about standing up for the oppressed, how much they want justice, it's really important for us to explain to them that there are plenty of opportunities to fight for justice and stand up for oppressed people across this world. But it's not on the side of the left. It's actually fighting for people's freedom and basic human rights that are being destroyed in socialist and communist countries. History tells a very clear tale, and unfortunately, my generation just isn't getting that in the public education system.
She's Morgan Zegers of Young Americans Against Socialism, fightsocialism.org. You're listening to me, Sebastian Gorka, on the Salem Radio Network. This is America First One-on-One. If you enjoy the opportunity to talk to our guests, not for the usual sound bites, not for the talking points for a couple of minutes, but for the long form that so much of us, so many of us, crave for, so we can get to the real heart of the issues that matter. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast, like Spotify or whatever platform you use. Just look for my name, Sebastian Gorka, and America First. Subscribe. It's absolutely free. Spread the word. Write us a review, and you will never suffer from that feeling. What is it? The fear of missing out, that you've missed one of our interviews, one of my monologues, or our regular guests. It's America First, wherever you get your podcasts. We will be talking to Morgan Zegers. Whether it's the regular Hellcat or whether it's the compensated RDP with that miniature red dot, I love them all. How did it take so long to invent a factory compensated subcompact 9mm? Well, guess what? Springfield did it, and I'm a huge fan. And I'm Sebastian Gorka.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest capacity micro compact in the world. Available in standard or optics-ready configurations, class-leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine and 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend.
I'm going to give her a little test now. Let's do a little role play, if you will. You said you realized the magnitude of the situation. You realized you didn't have the requisite tools. When you were challenged by somebody in college, you said, "Yes, I'm a communist, and don't you love my poster of mass murderers?" Well, walk us through what you've learned in the last 3 years. Let's replay that. Say Morgan Zegers is going to graduate school, and you meet me, and I'm your graduate school colleague, and I say, "Yes, I'm a communist, and would you want to come to the next Democratic Socialists of America meeting with me?" After 3 years of working this, what is your approach? What do you say to the person who says, "Yes, I'm an American and I'm a communist"?
Oh boy. So I would say over the 3 years, I've come up with a few clear talking points that the left will push at you, and they think they're going to win every time. It's very basic once you actually break it down. One of the key ones, I'm sure you've heard this, is they think that democratic socialism is different from socialism.
Yes.
It's more of a Nordic European style of socialism and not what happened in Venezuela or Cuba or the rest of
Right. So we want to live in, I don't know, Sweden, not Cuba.
Yeah, exactly. And so breaking that one down for them right away is to just explain that socialist dictators like Venezuela's Chavez were democratically elected into power, and then they started to seize the means of production, because socialism is an economic system where the government takes over the means of production. The other thing is that Nordic Europe is private, it's full of private economies, and they just have massively high taxes and government programs. So differentiating the two is really helpful for young people to understand, because this isn't something that they hear all the time. Instead, they hear very basic lies from people like AOC. The next step of this is the socialists will tell them that By improving and moving to a socialist economy, the people have the power, and the people will own the means of production. The people will be in charge of everything, not the evil, greedy business owners. But breaking it down for them in the basic way of saying that it's the government that now owns and controls the economy and provides you every service and good is a whole new ballgame. It's not what AOC is telling them, but when we break that down for them, it's important. And you mentioned the Victims of Communism poll, Dr. Gorka, that mentioned 60 or 70% of young Americans would vote for a socialist right now. That same poll from 2020 said that only 5 to 6% of young Americans actually trust the government.
Yeah, so there's a bit of a contradiction here that you don't trust the government, you're leery of it, but you buy into an ideology that would give the government total control over you. How do you point this out? I mean, because really, you're talking about, putting it politely, cognitive dissonance or ignorance. And when you're trying to convince people to come over to your understanding, you don't want to get their hackles up. You don't want to say, hey, you're stupid. Have you thought about the ramifications of if you don't like government, you want a bigger government? How dumb are you? How do you walk that tightrope to say, well, let's have a Socratic discussion. Give us some more tools to, because we have millions of listeners, and I know they've got friends, kids, grandkids who are indoctrinated. How do you reel them in to reality?
Yeah, it's very simple once you think about it. We are not dealing with one big audience that all wants to turn America into a communist regime, right? Instead, you have to break it down of, okay, you have this small group of radicals that are teaching our children and promising them that socialism will deliver this amazing progressive society that's never been seen before. In reality, that's a small, small group, and they are very powerful and influential. But at the end of the day, most young Americans that say they want socialism have probably never even heard the term seizing the means of production, right, or nationalizing an industry. And so that's very good for our side. I think, and I hope you guys understand this, the more we make fun of young Americans for wanting socialism, for saying the basic talking points they've been drilled into their head in the classrooms, the more we're just going to push them into the loving arms of people like AOC, who give them very feel-good talking points. What we have to do is respect young Americans as individuals that are capable of making a serious decision if they're given the responsibility and the facts and the information. They just aren't getting that. And so it's very basic on that level. And when you explain to them that this is how socialism works, it's trusting the government to provide you services. And what I like to do with these survivor testimonies is to explain why that's dangerous. We can't just say it doesn't work. We can't just say it makes the shelves empty. We can't just say that it makes the quality go down and the prices go up, because it just doesn't connect with young people. Instead, you have to make it clear, when the government provides you that, and they are the only provider of that service or good, they will demand that you do things in exchange for now receiving that service or good. And that is when you get into a situation of deadly and dangerous reliance on the government. It's when things get bad. And the survivor testimonies paint that clear picture for young people.
Friends, if you haven't done so already, if you've had it with the shutdown, if you want to wash away, blow away the COVID blues, join me and my colleague Dinesh D'Souza for the trip of a lifetime. It's the Stand With Israel tour. You can book your tickets right now. 10 days in November this year. Just call 855-565-5519. If you've always wanted to walk the earth where our Lord and Savior walked the earth, this is your opportunity. If you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. You know you want to do it. Call today, 855-565-5519, or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. You know you want to join us. Standwithisraeltour.com. Morgan, have you, in military, so you know my background is national security. In military, in analysis for warfare, there's a concept from Clausewitz, the most famous Western strategist, that you look for the center of gravity of the enemy. There is a culminating point. There is a place where if you attack that, it all falls apart. Have you identified the strategic center of gravity of the movement of the ideology we face today? Several people say it's the teacher colleges. It's the neo-Marxism in the teachers' colleges that becomes the funnel into the high schools, into the colleges. Is it somewhere else? Do you agree? Where is the most pernicious purveyor of the new left ideology?
Well, that's where the challenge lies. I hope everyone listening understands that this is going to take a multifaceted, decades-long approach to truly fix and to truly preserve this republic. Now, I'm excited by that because I want a life of service. And so I'm like, throw me in. I've got this.
You're ready for this career, right?
Exactly. I am ready for this, and I want everybody to understand this is going to be a lifetime of service if we want to make serious changes. The first thing, I guess when you look at the center of gravity, it would be the education system. But I encourage you guys to understand it's not just starting with the colleges. A lot of people think, we got to fix the colleges, all these Marxist professors. We need to be starting a lot earlier. I'm talking at least middle school and high school. We need to fix the curriculum that's in public schools. We have to make it easier to get kids out of public school and promote school choice and homeschooling and alternative options. But we have to understand young people aren't getting the basics in middle school and high school. So then when they go to college, they have no intellectual ammunition to fight back and defend themselves against the Marxist professor's lies. So that's this terrible cycle that we're pushing kids through. We also then assume that the kids are going to college and then maturing, maybe getting a little older, more conservative as they get more reason in their mind and their brain capabilities. But that's just not happening anymore. Instead, they are being completely indoctrinated. They are graduating and then they are going off. We are now two generations, millennials and Gen Z, deep of this serious indoctrination at least. So they're graduating, they're going off to work in the bureaucracy in our government. They're becoming politicians, they're joining corporate offices, and they are spreading this all around the country. So that's really the big focus here, is thinking about how we can rethink education and take leadership of our communities and our families and our own individual lives to fix this on every level.
Friends, we're talking to Morgan Zegers of Young Americans Against Socialism. Fightsocialism.org is her website. If you enjoy our content here, if you want to have direct access to me and content you can't find anywhere else, join my new locals community. It's gorka.locals.com. New content, everyday stuff you can't find anywhere else, and direct access to me. Join today. It's our new family, gorka.locals.com. That's gorka.locals.com. We've all been there. You get out of the shower, out of the bath, reach for the towel, and it's like sanding yourself down with a piece of cardboard. Why? Mike Lindell worked it out. They were importing towels from abroad, adding softness, and when you get home, it's just a con. Do what we've done. Order the incredible new MyPillow towels made with American cotton right here in the United States. Soft and absorbent as long as you own them. The six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths, regularly $109.99. You gonna get them for $39.99. If you use my name, go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio list of specials for deep, deep discounts with promo code GORKA. You've never tried a towel like it. 1-800-829-8468. 1-800-829-8468. MyPillow.com, promo code GORKA.
Morgan, let me ask you, you talked about the colleges, how we have to go deeper and deeper to the root of what's happening, not just in the colleges, but in the high schools. What is the role of the media, and especially social media? President Trump's new platform, Social Truth, is just about to launch. Lots of excitement, new partnership with Rumble. Do you welcome these initiatives, or do you think we're just creating echo chambers for patriots, and we're not going to reach out to those who need to be brought over to our side?
Of course. I'm not an absolutist on this. I don't think we should all just leave the platforms and then migrate over to the alternatives. I think we need to utilize all options here. But that's the key word. We need options and we need the ability to promote our voices. When we only operate on the big tech platforms and we don't give these new platforms a chance, we are giving big tech an opportunity to completely shut us off from an audience, to completely shut us off from the people that we're trying to reach. And so I am a big fan of staying on the platforms, not self-censoring. Make them kick us off if that's really what they want to do. Make them burn our books. But it's not as violent to burn our books these days, because all they have to do is have some employee at the lower level shadow ban us with some algorithm. So I encourage everybody.
Or ban our books on Amazon, which we've seen literally deplatform some author's work because somebody at Amazon who did gender studies in college doesn't like it.
Exactly. It's a less violent approach and a more PR-friendly version of book burning that we're seeing here with this totalitarian big tech. I will say, though, it's kind of fascinating for me because usually in socialism it's bad because the government takes over major industries and they start utilizing them for their own good. We see that with government mass media in communist regimes. But the private tech companies and media companies are just willingly doing the government's dirty work. So that's what's so unique about America, I would say. We have this oligarchy of big tech companies, Silicon Valley, and just corporate companies across this country with all of their products siding with big government against the people.
This deserves unpacking, especially as a child of those who, when they were children, suffered from fascist occupation. And fascism has this marriage between the corporate sphere and the state. That's what Hitler did, and that's what Mussolini did. And my parents, who then suffered after the fascist regime fell from communist oppression, my father ending up in a political prison. It sounds weird to say this as the child of survivors of those regimes, but you just were so accurate. In America, or in the West, because this isn't unique to us, it's worse than a communist dictatorship, because in Hungary, where my parents came from, in the Soviet Union, media had to comply. The power centers had to comply. If you worked for Izvestia or TASS or a journalist, your life depended upon supporting the state. Jack Dorsey at Twitter, Mark Zuckerberg, is willingly doing it. In fact, Zuckerberg is dropping $400 million in the last election to help his friends win that election and privatize them. So actually, Morgan, because they're willingly being political actors and censoring those they politically disagree with, we could be in an even more significantly oppressive system in comparison.
Yes, and that is exactly why I mentioned earlier that center of gravity is the education system. If you think about it, I am so worried about this. We have not been teaching Americans about things like the Cultural Revolution in China, where people would report their family members and their friends, and they were encouraged by the government to do so if they were creating an unsafe environment or if they were committing wrongthink, and it led to millions of people dying. We don't teach them that Stalin's propaganda wheel would delete people from pictures, and then release the picture as if nothing ever happened. When we don't teach these very specific examples, we are now repeating it in America, and people have no idea. No red flags go off in our head because we don't see this behavior as red flag worthy. That's when you think about it. It's not just this, oh, we got to worry about the kids. We are now creating generations of Americans that are willingly becoming mini tyrants in their own neighborhoods, because if you saw that poll, I think about 50% of Democrats said that they supported things like locking people down.
Yes.
And using house arrest on anybody that did not commit to getting a vaccine. This is some really scary stuff, and it's not just me being a fear monger. I'm being real here. We didn't educate people about these dangers, and now we are repeating it, and it's exactly what was doomed to happen one way or another. And unfortunately, a pandemic hit, and the left always uses moments of crises, moments of fear, to push their radical agendas.
I'm going to ask you about the COVID and the China virus in a second, but I just want to hammer this home, because I know some saying, how can Gorka say that? How can Morgan say that? Here's one piece of evidence. President Trump, on one platform alone, had more than 90 million followers. Twitter wasn't ordered by the Biden White House to do anything. Twitter, by themselves, unpersoned in an Orwellian fashion, deleted Donald Trump from their platform. Then, of course, Facebook, then Instagram. That's what they did willingly. Morgan, COVID, you talked about the exploitation of fear. There's a kind of dual-edged aspect to the last 2 years, a kind of Janus two-faced reality. On the one hand, amazing things happening, because we played that audio from that high school student standing up to the school board. We've had parents across Virginia, across New York saying, no, you're not masking my kids. No, you're not teaching them critical race theory, which is bigotry. And elections are won by you know, relatively milquetoast candidates like Glenn Youngkin after that. So you see this waking up. On the flip side, the thing that, as somebody who chose this nation, it breaks my heart to see almost a complete lack of resistance to the shutdown. I mean, one restaurant owner in California becomes a news story, one bar owner in New Jersey, when it should have been hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans who said, no, you're not taking my livelihood away from me. No, you're not taking the livelihood of my employees away from me. So how do you... what is your balance sheet for the last 2 years in terms of Americans waking up to the reality and then lots of Americans seemingly acquiescing to little fascists like Fauci?
Of course. I mean, before COVID, I don't know if I've told you this, I used to do speeches on college campuses, and I still do, but my speech used to be about the steps of a radical leftist takeover, and they would change the language, they would use Marxism with cultural Marxism or classic economic Marxism where they divide the classes, and then my last talking point for the kids was how the left will utilize a moment of crisis, and so I would talk about how Lenin had done this, Stalin had done this, Mao had done this, and I would talk about how the left was pushing climate change by telling us, we need to seize the means of production in America. We need to get rid of capitalism because the world is ending in 10 years. And to tell kids that they should be scared of the future in general, they should be scared to bring children into this world. AOC has gotten on stage and cried about how she's scared to give birth to children because she doesn't want to bring them into climate apocalypse, and then tell them the only solution is socialism. That doesn't exactly add up. And so I would warn them about this. But what do you know? COVID then hit. And a lot of people, like myself and you, I'm sure, we saw this and we said, be careful what happens when you give up your freedoms for a quick moment during a crisis to feel more secure. Think of freedom versus security and safety. What would you rather have? And now we are years into this. And unfortunately, it's taking people way too long to understand what's really happening here. This goes back to a lot of situations, whether it's the education system's failures, but also people just taking freedom for granted in America. They have no idea about our nation's founding and how unique and fragile this system really is, all at the same time as the left is breaking down our system by trying to get rid of things like the filibuster, the Electoral College, pack the courts, and just our basic economic system of capitalism. So a lot of serious things are happening here. Some people aren't even taking it seriously yet. Some are just waking up, but a lot of us are working really hard. It's just really a shame that not enough people have stood up. I hate seeing those videos of the individual business owners all alone, maybe on a viral video, but all alone standing up against a weird bureaucratic health employee from the department that's coming to shut them down, and they have the police officers there, and the police officers are siding with this bureaucrat against the small business owner who's saying, I need to put food on the table. This is not how it should be going here in America, and it breaks my heart to see it now, still in 2022.
Yeah. I want to give a fuller picture of the incredible work you're doing. So you're not just illuminating the threats of socialism and communism. You're actually doing the flip side of what's great about America and why we are the greatest nation. Last year, I had an idea. People need to be familiar with the Federalist Papers, and I'm just going to read them onto a podcast, and at least people will be able to listen to them. And then I sadly find out, or happily find out, that Morgan Zegers is already doing it. She's not reading them. She's analyzing them with a colleague. So tell us about this other podcast and why you decided, well, I know why it was important to me. Why did you choose to say, okay, let's do, it's 2021 or 2022, and we're going to talk about the Federalist Papers.
Yeah, well, I've got to say, so I'm 25, and a lot of people will ask me, how the heck did you end up conservative or just even appreciative of the freedoms we have here? And I say it's all because my parents taught me to appreciate history and comparative history in terms of how far we've come as a nation and a world, thanks to American Western values. And so I really am thankful for my parents for that. But Turning Point USA is a really great student organization, and they reached out to me because they identified that, yes, I am a history nerd, and they thought it would be a great idea to do a podcast called Freedom Papers, where we break down the ratification debate back in 1787, because a lot of young Americans have not read any of the Federalist Papers or the Anti-Federalist Papers. So each episode we do, we go 1 through 85, we include the Anti-Federalist arguments in all of them, and it's been a really good time. We hope this is a great resource for students to understand what our founders were looking at, what they were evaluating through previous human history, when they were writing our form of government that was eventually the ratified U.S. Constitution. So it's just a really, really fulfilling project for me, and I'm thankful that Turning Point would do that.
Freedom Papers is the podcast. We're talking to Morgan Seggers. She's the co-host. And long before you did that, long before you were a superstar in terms of fighting socialism, you were funding yourself through college by doing what, Morgan?
Oh, well, I paid for college with my wooden flags that I make in my workshop. I learned how to make them on YouTube, and my dad and I started making them for fun. We would donate them to VFW fundraisers. There's a lot of veterans out there with cancer from things like Agent Orange in Vietnam. And so we started donating them. We started giving them away, and people wanted to buy them. So I made it a business, and now we are on year four, and we are just killing the game, partly because you and a lot of really other great conservative leaders out there have been promoting the work that I do in the workshop. So thank you for that. And if anybody wants to buy a flag from me, I work so hard. I'm like a little modern day Betsy Ross. I think somebody recently called me that and it was the greatest compliment ever. But you can go to ZeggersFreedomFlags.shop.
ZeggersFreedomFlags.shop. And she's not joking. You can go to her Instagram. Every day you can see this little elf in her workshop with the blowtorch, with the circular saw, with the paintbrush. Eric, turn on the camera for our in-studio guests. Show them. This is one of Morgan's flag, aged, beautiful Second Amendment flag that we have sitting on the wall behind our in-studio guests. You've got to check out her amazing products, ZeggersFreedomFlags.shop. And Morgan, what is the largest flag you make?
Well, I got a unique order from this guy named Dr. Sebastian Gorka asking if I could make a 5-foot flag. And for those of you who are watching this, I'm only 5 feet tall. You can't tell because I'm sitting down, but I'm 5 feet tall. And he asked for a 5-foot flag. And so I just finished that last week and it has been hilarious. So if you follow me on Instagram, I've been showing the wood being my height and then I burn it and paint it. And it's just been a blast. So thank you for that fun order.
She can hide behind it because she's 5 foot tall and size the flag. And I can't wait because they've built for me a brand new TV studio on the other side of the building. It's being fitted out right now. We're putting all my lovely tchotchkes in there. And we're going to have a place of pride for that flag. ZeggersFreedomFlags.shop. Follow this lady. Support this lady. She's on all the social media platforms. She's fighting the good fight. It is, of course, Young Americans Against Socialism and FightSocialism.org. Last question for you. You're fighting an ideological war to take back America. We're not doing party politics. But I have to ask you a very simple question. When you look at what happened last year with the elections in the States, when you look at what's happened in the last 12 months here, are the conservatives that are part of the GOP, is the institutional right, are you satisfied with what they're doing? If you were a leader of the movement, if you were Kevin McCarthy, if you were President Trump, what would you like to see the institutional right focus more of their efforts on?
I would say it's quite frustrating. You ask me, am I happy with what they're doing? I don't know what the heck they're doing. Are they doing anything? And that's the problem. Maybe people are like, Morgan, you just don't know what's going on behind the scenes. They're working hard behind the scenes. Okay, then communicate that to us. Because the people that work so hard and door knock every 2 years for you guys to get in office and donate and speak on your behalf are embarrassed at this point with what's going on. The Republic is at risk. You guys are doing nothing, or at least you are failing to communicate what you are doing behind the scenes, and we feel abandoned. Your infrastructure in terms of grassroots support feels abandoned. We feel like we have to organize outside of the institutions and then come up and save this country on our own. That's how it's feeling right now, and so it's very, very frustrating, and I'm frustrated on my own, but I'm more so just worried. There's more opportunities for us to come together and fix these problems, but right now we're just disappointed, and it seems like they're playing politics as usual and worrying about 2022 midterms versus who's going to win this election, who's going to win this. We have serious, deep-rooted issues in this country, and they are not serious about them. I feel like if you look at the parents of the school boards, that's a really great example. Those are grassroots people that are not being supported by these institutions in D.C. that get millions of dollars.
I was worried, foolish Gorka, that she would not give me an outspoken response to that question, and I was wrong. What are they doing is what Morgan is screaming. Where is the GOP? Where is the Republican Party? God bless you for being the warrior that you are, the warrior for freedom. So let's say you are the countering, you are now the czar, not a good way of putting it. Let's say you are the advisor for countering socialism, the new, the counter-communist whisperer for the President Trump in his second administration, what is the first thing that you'd like to see him do? If we got serious as a movement, where do we have to begin getting serious?
I would upend the education system. I would completely upend it. I would destroy the teachers' unions. And that's specifically because the socialist parties here in America, the actual political parties, understand how powerful these teachers' unions are, and they are utilizing them. You can go to DSA, the Democratic Socialists of America's website, to see what their initiatives are with taking over the teachers' unions, if you really don't believe me. I would upend the education system, change the curriculum, allow kids to get out of public school if they want to, and most importantly, add the actual information we should be teaching to kids into the schools and take all the rest of the crap out.
Follow her at Morgan Zegers, also at the ZegersFreedomFlags.shop, Young Americans Against Socialism, which is at FightSocialism.org. Last message to our millions of listeners and viewers across the nation who think, well, this is fun, I listen to a fun podcast, but I don't have any role to play in any of this.
I say you've got to become a precinct committee person in your local GOP, monitor your school board, care for your children and the children of your community, and completely rethink education, leadership, and community moving forward in this country. It has to start with us, and then it starts with strong families, moves to strong communities, and that will bring a strong country back.
Fabulous, fabulous, fabulous. God bless you and everything you do. We'll be fine if we get 1,000 more Morgan Zegers out there. You've been listening to America First, one-on-one with me, Sebastian Gorka. Wherever you are, keep your head on a swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.